You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Friday, 10 April. We had Chinese inflation data out a few hours ago. Year on year, it was 1%. Month on month, it was minus 0.7%. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Mthethwa Tulari from Investec. We had US data yesterday. GDP for the last quarter of the year, poor, but positive, I suppose. And then PCE inflation, which kind of like was in line, but still well above the 2% target. We'll get his thoughts. And then we'll chat with Janina Sarsky from Alex Forbes. Their December 2025 Manager Watch Survey. It is big. It is chunky. It's got tons of data. And it is also showing us some good trends. Multi-managers gaining market share is one of them. And then thoughts from you in the ceasefire. It's going to be messy. Remember what Kia said yesterday. The first casualty of war is truth. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, Bloomberg. White House warns staff on insider trading amid Iran war bets. The warning comes after a series of well-timed, profitable bets raise questions about potential insider trading around Trump's decision-making. Business Day, ShopRite ramps up AI push with Pixie Shopping Assistant. Platform predicts what customers need and when they need it. Morning markets, US was green, S&P 0.6% higher, NASDAQ was up 0.7%. The East is mixed. We've got Sydney down 0.33%, Tokyo 1.5% higher, Hong Kong just over 0.5% up, while Tencent is 0.7% down. Commodities, all green. Gold futures, 4,788. Brent is 96.68. That is only 2 cents up on the same level this time yesterday. Platinum, 2,080. Palladium, 1,562. The rand is 16.41. Bitcoin, 71,900. And top 40 opening call at green open, 1,300 points or 1.25% higher.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Mthethwa Tulari, he of course from Investec. Mthethwa, appreciate the early morning. Two pieces of data out yesterday. I got to say, probably the PCE inflation, the more important. This is the Fed's preferred inflation measure. February unchanged at 2.8%. That was in line with expectation. Of course, well above the 2% target. And then GDP, which was down at 0.5% for Q4. I mean, well below expected, but still growing. Your thoughts around these numbers, or are they largely moot considering that subsequent to this data point, of course, there's been 5 weeks of war in Iran?
Good morning, Simon. I suppose the U.S. economy is confronting a challenging stagflationary environment. I mean, like you say, I mean, growth obviously around that 0.5, but also PCE, I suppose, also remaining, you know, stubbornly elevated. And it's well above the Fed's 2% target. You know, when you look at the quarter four GDP numbers, that's falling outside the 10-year historical Wall Street forecasting range. And it is also marking the slowest growth in three quarters. Now, I think for me, the projections are that PCE inflation will remain in the upper mid 2% range throughout this year, with only, you know, gradual easing to around 2.4% in 2027. You know, underlying domestic price pressures remain sticky due to the solid wage growth and also the elevated input costs. And I suppose the Iran war has added significant upward pressure. I mean, already we are seeing that this is the largest again in March, I suppose, driven by the soaring gasoline prices.
Yep.
When you look at some of the estimates, a 10% rise in oil prices could lead to about a 10 to 20% basis point increase in the overall PCE price index, and also a 10 to 20 basis point drag on US GDP growth. So it tells you a story that, you know, at this point in time, it is going to be a really conflicting point for the Fed as to how do they navigate all of this going forward.
100%, and that we've got an FOMC at the last week of April. I mean, I imagine best case scenario there is that they probably do nothing.
Look, I mean, the FOMC minutes also revealed a hawkish tone. I mean, some participants judging that progress towards the 2% inflation objective could be slower than anticipated. And then some are seeing a strong case for potentially rising interest rates if inflation stays beyond above the target. Now, already you've seen some officials saying that they believe that further rate cuts are appropriate if inflation decreases as expected. Others have postponed the timing of cuts. Some are arguing for acknowledging the possibility of rate hikes if inflation remains above the target. But at this point in time, I mean, it's anybody's game. I mean, we also have this war that is also causing a level of uncertainty. And I suppose at the next Fed meeting, this is something that they will articulate to the market, that they have to obviously balance their speech and their tone. Because, I mean, if you think about it, a few months ago, it was all data dependent and obviously how things play out. Now the language has twisted to what happens to inflation and what happens to the labor market and what is inflation going to be sticky. And I suppose then it's going to throw the cat amongst the pigeons, because we will be having conflicting messages from different Fed officials.
Yeah, I suppose it is that. And I mean, we just don't know with the war. Looking at the GDP number again, I mean, it was the lowest number since July 2022. So getting a little bit sticky, a little bit messy there, but we'll leave it there. It's Metete Tulari, Investec. Always appreciate the early morning insights. And that's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. What did you make of the numbers? I mean, certainly GDP was light. And I suppose on the flip side, inflation was in line. But I mean, what's it? It's over 5 years since the US has been at their 2% target number. That is a long, long, long time. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. Give your money smoother returns for Stanlib Asset Management. The Stanlib Flexible Income Fund's agile investment process preserves and grows capital in all markets.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting with Janina Slarsky, Executive Investment Consulting at Alex Forbes. Janina, appreciate the early morning time. Your Manager Watch survey is out. We've chatted a couple of times around this, but remind us what the Manager Watch survey is, its purpose, and how it is formulated every year.
Thank you very much. Good morning to everyone. So yes, it is an annual survey, and essentially it's a barometer of what's happening in the asset management industry with a focus on retirement funds. Mm-hmm. It is fascinating. As we all know, investment markets are incredibly challenging at the time. Lots of good returns last year and not so good returns since the war started.
Yep.
So essentially it says who's doing well, what are the trends, how much is going offshore, what's happening in terms of the BE state of asset managers. So all comes together in a very interesting annual survey.
It is data rich. My little brain absolutely loves it. You talk around some of the trends. The one that, and we've mentioned this before, multi-managers continue to gain share. What does it say? In 2019, for every R1 to single managers, multi-managers got 15 cents. That's now 30 cents. This is a big shift. It's happening slowly, but it is significant.
But it is part of a much bigger trend. Mm-hmm. So obviously, there's a lot of complexity in running standalone retirement funds. So a lot of funds are moving into umbrella funds and making the decision that if you're going to make that decision, you might as well overall simplify. So a lot of standalone funds actually moving into multi-manager portfolios within umbrella funds.
Yeah, keeping it simple. Global allocation, you mentioned this. As of December last year, 40 of the 53 managers, more than 30% in global assets, 8 exceeding 40%, average 33.5%. It would seem, I mean, that we've sort of hit that sweet spot with the 45% limit within Reg 28. We're now saying, well, managers can now pretty much take what they want, and what they're looking for is actually a little bit lower than the 45.
Well, obviously, Rand's strength also helps to take it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So obviously, 2025 was an amazing year in terms of local equity returns, Rand's strength, you know, which is a huge good story for local asset managers, local investors.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, any assets you held in dollars actually lost its value over the year. So this doesn't necessarily reflect that managers were actually consciously reducing. Mm-hmm. But obviously, the Rand strength reduced it. And as we know, we have not had Rand strength since the beginning of the war. So that figure is going to vary a lot, both because asset managers have views on offshore, but also what happens with the Rand and offshore asset returns.
You mentioned transformation. What we are seeing is frankly significant a transformation. 54 of 78 managers in terms of the ORM survey, a level one contributor. This is significant. This is an industry that is largely transformed.
Obviously, a lot of it was driven by client demands, mm-hmm. But also regulator, National Treasury, etc., asking hard questions. So yes, we've walked a journey with the asset managers in the industry, and the commitment is amazing to transformation. They've really pulled out all stops in terms of ownership, transformation of investment professionals, procurements, spending, etc. Obviously, one of the biggest trends has been that the large managers, such as the Coronation, Sanlums, or Mutuals. So when you look at our survey and see the huge increase in the number of BE or majority black-owned strategies, a lot of that is just driven by the fact that the massive managers have made that cross along the lines, and therefore their strategies are now BE.
You talk around size. Who are our biggest asset managers in the country?
Well, we have a gorilla called 91. They, for a few years, they've been at the top. And obviously, with the transaction with Sanlam, mm-hmm. that's going to change significantly over the next 12 months. So do not expect to change at number one. But then obviously, other big names, Stanlib, Coronation, Sanlam, etc., and some changes, in fact, between the managers. And obviously, significant transactions like the transfer of assets from Sanlam to 91 mm-hmm. Is going to make a big difference when you see the survey that comes out this year.
In terms of performance, I mean, you mentioned last year was a really, really strong year on the JSE. Of course, you had to be very, very all in on gold. Otherwise, perhaps you weren't getting the return. And it would have been a brave call back in January to perhaps have made that. But how were returns for the industry in 25 and in light of what was a good year for equities?
Well, I think we've said for some time that the fact you can take money offshore to a much higher level is causing massive dispersion, because managers will either get it right or they won't get it right,
mm-hmm.
and the range can be huge. So it's actually stock. Yes, I said South African equities had a fantastic year, but if you look at the dispersion of the one-year returns for South African equity, it ranged from 8.7 up to 50.6. I mean, obviously, even if you're in the 40s, 50s, you as a client are delighted. But imagine if you only got an 8% return. And then similarly on the global best investment view, dispersion of, 6% to 33%. So these are markets where the quality of the stock picking and the tactical allocation by managers is just going to be dramatic. In terms of differentiation between the highest and lowest. So I think for clients, they are going to have to look at their managers with much more critical eyes. They can't all just be following passively, and if market goes up, they all go up. They will definitely go up more if they have a quality in terms of stock selection and asset allocation.
Yeah, that's a good point. A time to sort of earn your stripes. So last question around fees. And I mean, I certainly, if we take a big step back and look out over a decade or two, fees have absolutely been coming down. There's a chart in here which talks around fees, maximums, minimums, averages. I have to say, for an industry, and I've mentioned this before, you know, my first unit trust in the 90s, I was paying 5%. The maximum fees now sub 1%. This is before performance and the like, but fees really have sort of moved in the direction of good news for investors.
Definitely. But obviously, what we've got in the graphs are institutional fees.
Sure.
So you will still find some high fees for retail, especially with low asset amounts. But the trend has been dramatic. This is the advantage of competition.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, clients have been asking questions. Consultants have been asking questions. And obviously, generally, there's been a drive towards more disclosure and clients having to certify that their fees have been checked and are reasonable. And that is huge benefit to investors because those fees are coming down and that compounds dramatically over longer periods to give better returns to members of funds.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a compound over time. And yeah, the trend has certainly been in the favor of the clients. We'll leave it there. That's Yonina Sarsky, Executive Investment Consulting, Alex Forbes, talking around their December 25 Manager Watch Survey. Appreciate the early morning. Let your money weather the storms with Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in the Stanlib Global Select Fund, a diversified all-weather equity portfolio sub-managed by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Thoughts around the ceasefire, and I've mentioned it already this morning from Kian and Yanni yesterday. First casualty in war is truth. And we're kind of at the messy point now where there's that attempt to get some a peace going. And there's going to be, I mean, it's just going to be wild stories absolutely everywhere. There are three direct parties, the US who desperately wants out, Israel who seems to want to keep the war going, and Iran who's, I think from their perspective, they kind of like, look, we've got those Straits of Hormuz. We actually want a deal that works for us. We are going to start getting the formal talks happening in Islamabad. But the point is, it's going to be slow. There's going to be leaks from all parties, and there's going to be disinformation. Let's call it what it is. There's going to be lies left, right, and center. So, I mean, a couple of thoughts. I mean, the best thing probably as an investor is just kind of ignore it. Just kind of turn it off. It is going to happen one way or the other. There will be peace. We don't know what it will look like. We don't know when it will happen. And we don't know if this two-week ceasefire, which is already a couple of days old and been breached as per what Iran is saying, will continue to hold. But be careful of responding to every piece of news. Be careful of seeing something, particularly on a social media, and responding to it. I follow a lot of people on social media, but we've got to make sure that they are legitimate, that they are what they say. There's a woman I follow. She works for an organization whose job it is to track boats going through the Straits of Hormuz. So, you know, they've got that credibility. There are hundreds of others out there. I mean, I'm on Vessel Finder and refreshing. Is that reliable? I simply don't know. I mean, it's that sort of thing. So, I mean, it's almost a case of, yeah, believe nothing, which I know kind of leaves us a little bit blind in a sense, but that's not the worst thing. There's going to be a lot of noise. There's going to be claims, threats, counterclaims. A lot of it is going to be absolute nonsense. It's going to be volatile out there. My initial thought was, well, we could watch the oil price. That will give us a good indication. But of course, the oil price is just traders, and those traders are also not sitting in that room where peace talks are happening. All of us are flying blind. Be very careful of making any moves, any investment decisions based on what could just be, well, absolute rubbish coming through on the social medias or even the mainstream medias. That's it for today. As I said, chatting with Ken Nyanyani yesterday, Prime XBT. We're talking around oil as the ceasefire was holding and continues to hold. We asked you if we'd be heading back into the 60s anytime soon. It certainly was volatile yesterday, although as I noted in my intro, its close was only 2 cents higher, but within that, it had been all over the place. So asking you if it head back into the 60s, around 40% each said, nope, not happening anytime soon. The other 40-odd percent saying, yeah, look, if peace holds, we can get back there. The rest saying more likely above $100. I think the very, very likely, what we can be sure of, is that volatility. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nubukhle, Nicole, Sabu, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us a positive rating and an awesome review in your podcatcher of choice. We'll chat again Monday. High oil isn't the economy killer it used to be.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.